Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience, and of course, all of our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me today to encourage you is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And Steve Kolaszewski.
Kolaszewski.
Good day. That's what he told me to pronounce it. Kolaszewski. So I'll never forget it.
Orski. Right? Yeah.
See? Got
That'll
it.
Work.
Got it. Now try spelling it, and that's another story. But hey, we are four programs back to back. Don't forget to catch us on VFNTV.com and, of course, check your local listing. But we've been talking about the blessedness of possessing nothing in our previous segments, as well as how the abortions in Detroit are like that of a third world country, where 31%, wow. Pat, 31%, a third of all pregnancies are ending an abortion in Detroit. Continue to pray for Detroit. And our prayer is that what has been just a tragedy in that particular city, that the believers there and what God wants to do in Detroit would be just an amazing beacon of light, total transformation. So pray for Detroit and the nation as well. Also in today's program, by God's grace, we're going to be talking about what is happening in Syria. Charisma News is reporting that apparently there was a group who went from believers, Modi Cohen and some other Jewish and Israeli and Arab believers went together to Israel, and also they went to like Syria, and they report firsthand accounts of what is happening there and how people are suffering. And we want to make sure we share that with you, just so that we can be aware. Oftentimes, you know, if we're just listening to anything that's coming across the news cycle, we don't understand. We don't get the full dimension of what's happening. And this is a firsthand occurrence from believers, so that we can know how to pray. Remember that the most powerful thing that we could do, there's three ways that we can always get involved. We can, of course, give of ourselves our time. We can, of course, give our money and our finances, and those are powerful. But always, we can always give ourselves in prayer, which is the most powerful, and we cannot forget that. So we want to be able to educate you so that you can be informed, but also so that you can take action. And so we're going to be talking about that. Also, the courtroom of, is it God? Steve, talk to us.
The courtroom of God. You know, I just really began thinking.
God is a courtroom?
Well, just kind of as a whole, you know, you look at like just the amount of movies, and just really began to just think about that. You know, some of the TV shows, there's a lot that just you can think about. The different TV shows, as far as like the different, you know, the People's Court or Public's Court or past blockbuster hits. And a lot of people can kind of walk through that as far as the people that make up a courtroom. And a lot of people understand the different happenings of, you know, what transpires, what goes on in a courtroom. And I really began to think about, you know, that moment when somebody's called to approach the bench, to be a witness. And I really began to thinking about the fact that, you know, that wasn't the first time that they heard their name. When somebody said, okay, you know, Mrs. Smith, you know, if you could approach the bench as a witness. Uh-huh. It's like they knew that day was coming.
Mm-hmm.
They had taken the time with their lawyer, their attorney, and they spent the time to say, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? What am I not going to say? When they ask the question, okay, hey, take a second, how you deliver it, the speech. But I thought about it, and it's just like when they get brought to that place, when they get brought to that specific stand, they're being brought to the high place. You know, whether it's the state, whether it's the county, it's the federal, the Supreme Court, it's that high place in that specific land. And I began to think about, okay, They go, they walk up and they get it from their seat. Who's ever addressing them, they go to sit down, but then they have to say something before they begin fielding questions, and they have to say an oath. And the person that talks to them, they say, okay, do you promise to basically tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Now, I haven't seen a specific courtroom in the last few years, so I don't know if that's still being said, but I know at one time it was being said. And it really began to think about the things that Jesus says. And I began to think about, well, that sounds a lot like the different analogies and different representations of what Jesus says who we are to be. Mm-hmm. And you can read about it in John 15. He talks about the fact, he talks about the counselor, he talks about the Holy Spirit. And he says, when the counselor comes, whom I'm going to send to you, this is Jesus talking, he says, the Spirit of truth. And I just really began to ponder on the fact that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He says, he will testify about me, and you must also testify. And I was like, okay, because we've been with Jesus. And he was talking to the disciples at the time, that the disciples have been with Jesus from the beginning. And it's just like, you know, we're called to be witnesses. And it's just like when we're brought to those high places, and I think about like those different places that we're brought to or where Jesus establishes or brings us to, I think about just like when we're brought before parents. And if you think about a child, or, you know, if they're in a family that does not know the Lord, but they themselves have made a decision to ask Jesus, Jesus has established them as a witness to their family.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think about the fact that God has given you the blessings of a job in the workplace, because he's called you to be a witness to your boss, to your coworkers, to your customers in that place. Or you think about, you know, if you're called to be where you are, where God has placed you, to be a witness to your neighbors. Just like wherever we are, we're called to be a witness. Because he says is that on my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as a witness to them. And then I just began to thinking about it, and it's just like, well, if a witness was spending time with their attorney or their lawyer, that they had like talked about what they were going to say. And it's just like, a lot of times you can begin to think about like, well, what am I going to say? If I'm a witness, how do I know what to say? And it's like, we've talked about many times before, and it's just like, Jesus said he's going to give us the words to say. That's why we abide. Because if Jesus says that I'm going to send you the counselor, the Spirit of truth, he says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. If you spend time with me, you know, we were talking about earlier, it's just like hearing kids minister to their neighbors. And it's just like, I had scriptures in me I didn't even know of, because uh-huh. it's God. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it says in the word. It just says, but when they arrest you, if that's, you know, you, different situations when they're brought, and you can look at the book of Acts. He talks about the fact that don't worry about what you're going to say or how to say it. At that time, you're going to be given what to say. For it won't be you speaking, but it'll be the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. And I just really was just encouraged in that, and just reminded about the truth of like, it's God that's going to give us those words to say where he's established us, where he's brought us. But Jesus knew that day was coming. He told us that that day was coming. And it just says, you know, Jesus even reminds us, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And, you know, you're talking about in one of the previous segments, it's just like, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do in that moment, in the life that we're given, in the brevity of this life? What can we say to the world? If we do know this Jesus, what are we saying? And that's the huge thing. It's like, if we're testifying, you might not know that you have a testimony. You know, if Jesus Christ has done a work in your life, if he's moved in your life, if he's changed you and done a miracle, you might not know. It's just like sharing what Jesus has done impacts people, because they might not know the Jesus that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
a huge testimony. And it's just, a lot of times people are believing that lie of just like, well, you know, I only know a few things of what Jesus has done. And it's just like, the word says so specifically how important it is. The devil knows how important it is, because it says the devil's going to be overcome by our testimony.
Mm.
It says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, mm-hmm. and the word of our testimony. And it really just began, I just seeing so many of those moments of how powerful it is when it says that the disciples were the witnesses. And when they did testify, how powerful it was. And it says, I mean, there were those that were so convicted when they heard that spirit of truth, when they heard that true witness. Peter and John had gotten arrested at that time when you read in the book of Acts. And there were some people that went before them and actually arrested them. And they said, they called Peter and John in and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And that's how powerful that testimony is. And this is what Peter and John said. They said, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we've heard. They were testifying. Mm-hmm. They were being a witness where God had brought them. And I just really began to think about how powerful it is. You know, we've said it from time to time. You know, go to meet my Father. Read about those testimonies. Read about those that were testifying about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in your life. And it's like, if you do know this Jesus, and you're kind of at a loss of just like, well, what am I going to say? It's just like, that's why we abide. Mm-hmm. That's those moments of spending time knowing the fact that there's going to be that day. That day is going to come when Jesus is going to say, Bob, I need you to approach the bench. Sally, I need you to stand up and address the court. Mm. Address your coworker. Share him with your neighbor. It's just like, that's the power. It's mm-hmm. just like, we are to be his witnesses. And it's just like, if you want to be a witness for Jesus, I encourage you, because this is that greatest moment that God is raising up a people to be his witnesses to the ends of the world, yeah. to the ends of the earth and all the nations. And it's so exciting.
That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. I mean, he says, you know, you'll receive power
yeah.
when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? Comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, mm. you know, and that's the whole thing from Jerusalem, Judea, you know, to the other Samaria, other most parts of the earth. And so, you know, you start witnessing where you're at, but oftentimes, you know, if there is no witness, you know, you witness of what you experience. Mm. And I think a lot of times that's why the Bible tells us to examine ourselves if we're still in the faith. Uh-huh. I mean, if your testimony and your witness is of something that occurred 30 years ago, you know, and that's it. You know, you need to have a witness. You need to have a continual witness. Your testimony is ever expanding. We always talk about a salvation testimony. It needs to be what my life was before, a clear, definitive moment of what happened that caused me in my life to come to Jesus. And then after a period of time, you can see, you know, what my life was after. That is a witness. But when we testify and we give witness, like you're saying, mm-hmm. we're giving an account. We're giving a personal account of what Jesus did for me. And oftentimes, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you can, that's great, but let me tell you what happened to me.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was blind, and now mm-hmm. I see. You know, this was my life before, and this is my life now. And that's the true joy, that we're able to tell people, like you're saying, that we interact with and come with, what God has done for us. And I've seen people sometimes try to get away from their testimony, and it's like, hey, you know.
There's power.
Don't forget where you came
from. Don't forget
yeah.
what you came from. And don't forget the miracle of what God did, because if what God did for you, he can do for sure for somebody else. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him. Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom. And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
Get on the right side. And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But
right. I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com. And select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for is a third great awakening. A third great awakening. In America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And, you know, Ron Cantor basically sent a note from the Messiah's Mandate, and Charisma News has picked up on it, and he gave an account of a recent opportunity that Monty Cohen, who went to Jordan with a team from Israel, made up of Jewish and Arab believers, and he gives this report about what's happening in Syria, Pat, Steve, and it is, I mean, you know, this is serious. They're calling it hell on earth. And he says a few hours ago, he's writing, I arrived in Israel visiting Jordan, and I'm still trying to digest what I've just seen there. The evil in the Muslim world is overwhelming, and what is happening in Syria unveils its true face. He goes on to say that there's just some horrific things that are happening. The Assad army kills everybody in their way, and the victims are mostly found among the innocent children, women who have been raped, people murdered in front of their family, and over 3 million refugees have fled Syria, 1.5 million of which have escaped to Jordan. And this is serious, because I believe the King of Jordan was saying, we can't take any more people. So we, you know, we just can't take any more. And he begins to start giving insight about what he saw. And this is from, again, a Christian perspective. He says, I saw Syrian children living on the streets, begging for money. Most of the families managed to rent an apartment in one of the poor districts. And sometimes a family of 25 people, parents, children, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and their children live in one apartment. The apartments are unbelievably overcrowded, and in some of those we visited, there was no furniture, only mattresses with bags of clothes next to each one. There was no tables, no chairs, or other furniture. In some cases, more than one person slept on the same mattress. Now, when you're looking at news and you're seeing this stuff happen from time to time, you don't get the full depth of what it's like to be living in a war-torn country. I mean, Israel has that perspective. We mentioned before how Israel, how they live continually in the crosshairs, and how to be able to sustain life that way. But they share a story of a young man named Mohammed, and they say that during one of our visits, we met Mohammed, a 17-year-old boy who was shot in his knee by the Syrian army while fleeing from Syria to Jordan. And he was injured, and he managed to cross over the border and was treated by the Jordanian hospitals and the medical team. Uh-huh. And they finally let him join his family, right? And all these things had happened 2 weeks before they had arrived. So they're meeting the family, they're talking with them. And so he continues to say, we asked him how he managed, they started talking, they had this meeting, right? So they're getting ready to end the meeting because he's saying he has to go to work. And so they're saying, wait a minute, how do you manage to work with such a serious injury to your leg? And he says, for we noticed that the entire knee was covered with bandages. And he looked at us sadly and said that there was no other way. 11 people lived in the house, and only he and two of his brothers could work. He explained that the refugees didn't have a working permit, so they had to work many hours for small amounts of money. He works in a restaurant 10 hours a day for only 6 dinars, which is the equivalent of $7.50. Mm. I mean, this is what's happening around the world. This is the suffering that people are going through, which gives us perspective, because there are a lot of Syrian Christians right now that are being persecuted in the middle of this civil war. I believe it's over 100,000 plus people that have been killed in this travesty. They talk about another woman named Ida, who was a widow, and that's a lot of things that they're seeing in Syria right now. From ages 18 to 22, there is a high percentage of widows with children. And what they're saying that in the Muslim world, a widow is a burden, and many times the family tries to make her marry an older man so that they will stop being a burden to their family. And so this woman lost her husband, and they say all she did while they were with her was cry the entire time of the emotional pain that she was going through. And it just causes us to really think and reconsider the things that we are listening to, the things that are going on around the world. Mm-hmm. And we talked about on a previous program that oftentimes we talk about being global citizens, but in reality for the church, the real conversation for us to have is to be global Christians, to understand that our brothers and sisters are beyond the borders of the respective country in which we live in, but our brothers and sisters are Christians that are all over the world. And there's even for those that are not Christians, right? We need to have a compassion for the people that are suffering and people that are less fortunate than we are. In my office at home, I have this huge world map, and I have it purposely on my wall so that I can remember to pray for the nations and to get outside of American mindset and to realize there is a world out there outside of America.
Right.
And to understand that there are people every day that don't live the privileged life that we get to live every single day. And so we want to keep this in the forefront as right now in the news, the President Obama is considering sending troops for the first time into this battle. And again, what happens in that region, in that area of the world, believe me, affects what happens in Israel. Right now, Israel has 170,000 missiles aimed at her. And it's important that we're not ones that fall asleep here, but that we remain watchmen on the wall. I know, Steve, that you had an opportunity to share about, you know, your tours of duty when you served, mm-hmm. you know, our country, mm-hmm. but you would have fresh perspective of what really mm-hmm. could be happening in a war-torn village like mm-hmm. that in communities.
Well, yeah, it's a huge perspective. Like when you see that, you begin to really take in consideration, like you're saying, the wealth and the blessings that we have. Because to go over there and you see that type of culture, literally there's houses built out of mud. It is a normal thing to see children in no shoes, like literally wearing, you know, clothes that looks like they've never been washed. And it's that type of culture. It looks like they're, you know, 200-300 years behind us, like they've just never advanced. And that's just the thing. It's just like, it's literally a war-torn community that they have grown up in that generation after generation. And it really is it's amazing to see that. That's how people live. It is a reality for others. Mm-hmm. And it's not a question. Not everybody has a car. Not everybody has an iPhone. Not everybody has, you know, fill in the blank. But the blessings of America, when you look at that, it can cause you to really get so focused and just see that little bubble. And just to see that, it really opens up. And like, you know, we shared on a previous program about the young guys that had that wealth and they're just like, how do I declutter? Because all of a sudden it's just like, when did I put such value on that? And to see that, you begin to really take in consideration, what do we truly value? Mm-hmm. Do we value things or do we value the sanctity of life? Do we value those things that really do value? Those really things that do matter? Because when you see that, it's all of a sudden your eyes open up and you begin to look outside of what you thought you knew, what you thought was a priority. And it's a huge perspective.
It's amazing that it happens. I mean, something really has come over us here in the West where many have become earthly rich and heaven poor. Mm. And we talked about in that segment that, you know, the treasures in heaven are something that are not being even valued. It's like trying to get everything that I can in this life. And it's like, hey, do you not recognize that this is just a vapor? This mm-hmm. is passing by. In fact, you may not live another 20, 30 years. Your day may end tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The question is, what kind of impact did we leave while we were here? Who did we touch? And what did we do to advance the kingdom of God? Listen, this earth will pass away, but God's kingdom will remain forever. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me here to encourage you is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kolesheski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, good day. Well, we are four programs back to back. Don't forget to catch us on VFNTV.com. And of course, check your local listings if you're in the Gulf Coast. So you can catch us on CTN 5:30 Monday through Friday, where we're keeping the conversation light. But we were talking about CT Studd. And it is reported C.T. Studd, after he was touched, we talked about him in a previous program, after he was touched by God and moved by God to give everything, he was further stirred by the article of the atheist that we shared. And this is what was said about C.T. Studd, that before he left England, he knew that when he turned 25, he would inherit a fortune under his father's will, and he was basically, you know, it says he was exercised before the Lord about what to do with the money. He was considering what he needed to do, and the words of Christ: sell what you have and give alms, and lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, challenged him. As did Christ's exhortation to the rich young man, which we also just spoke about. And he says, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come take up your cross and follow me. And in the light of God's word, he determined to do what the rich young man failed to do. Mm. And basically, he made a decision that when he was 23, that he would not receive his inheritance. He made this decision before the 2-year period he was going to receive his inheritance. And his inheritance was substantial. Today, that same amount would be worth more than $25 million U.S. dollars. So he didn't even receive his father's inheritance. This is what he did with it. One of the first gifts from Studd's inheritance went to D.L. Moody, who used the money to start the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.
Wow, cool.
Which still exists today, right? Mm. Some of the other gifts went to George Mueller for his orphanage in Bristol, England. And George Mueller was a man who lived completely out of faith. He had orphanages in England, and there are amazing stories where he didn't have anything to feed the children, and a doorbell would ring, and some man would come to the back door and say, I run a bread company, and I was convicted of God to bring this to you, and I have to, and then brought him all this food for the kids. But story upon story upon story about George Mueller's ministry like that. And then, of course, he also gave money for missions work in China and to the Salvation Army for work in India and among, you know, the poor people in London. And it's just, again, another testament to say that, listen, what can we do to declutter? What can we do with the true wealth that God's given us? And how can we not only impact and touch the people that really need it here, but also, hey, God tells us he's going to bless us. We're going to have the riches in heaven. Absolutely awesome. I'm challenged. I'm looking, hey, I got to get rid of something. I got to get rid of something. Mm. And I'll invite Patty. He'll help me declutter.
Who's going to help me?
Yeah, Steve will help you. Okay. We're going to talk about what to do when hurt. Pat, would you believe that people have the ability to hurt you?
Yeah. I've thought about it once or twice.
You've thought about it once or twice. I bet you have. You know, there's a great naivety in life when we are shocked by the things that people do in life that hurt us and bring us pain. Why does that happen? You're like, this totally blindsides us some of the times. Maybe not Pat, but maybe Steve. You're human, right? You're
it's just happened.
That hurt. I can't believe that happened, right? And the truth is that Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have them. And I believe that part of that is because we are a fallen people. I mean, we need to be redeemed. That's why we have a Savior. And we live in a fallen world. And so problems and trials will always exist until we go home to be with Jesus. And people will hurt us. I mean, if you have not experienced hurt, let me encourage you.
Guaranteed. It's on
its
way.
Hold on.
You will experience hurt. And guess what? Here's another shocker. You, in your lifetime, will probably hurt someone too. It just kind of happens. You don't want it to happen. You don't want to be hurt, and you don't want to hurt other people. But, you know, we have to deal with life. We have to deal with the sin nature. We have to deal that we need to be in a constant place of walking with God and living in his mercy and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in our lives. And that's when we live surrendered lives. But the thing is that, okay, since we know that in this life we're going to be hurt, and that we also have the potential, and we probably will at times hurt others, the thing is, what can we do about it? We must master what we have to get down is not to try to avoid it. Because that's what some of the things that people try to do. They say, well, I just don't want to get hurt. That's bad. You know, so I don't want to go through that again. And what they begin to do is start isolate themselves. They start to become, you know, critical. They start to guard themselves. They don't open themselves to love and to put themselves out. And when you love people, you're literally exposing yourself. Every time you risk love, guess what? You risk being hurt. And so what they try to do is try to control their ability of being heard. Well, that doesn't work. What we need to do is master how do we respond to hurt when it happens in our life. And there's a couple ways that we can do that. I mean, you know, one way is, you know, how we respond to a person. You know, we can choose to become bitter. That hurts us. We can choose to become bitter. We can actually hold it against the person, which really only makes the matters worse and really exasperates the issue. Right. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, okay, are you still dwelling on that? Are you still rehearsing that? Are you still... And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to keep that thing in your mind. He wants to exaggerate it, talk about what the person did, how did that happen, how could they say that? And really, you're making it about yourself. I mean, if Jesus Christ was hurt, if Jesus Christ was betrayed, catch a clue, right?
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
It's coming. So we're elevating ourselves when we're thinking about ourselves all the time in that regard. Yeah. The idea here is to take your focus off the person who committed the offense and take the focus off of yourself, right? And put your focus back on Jesus. That's what we need to do. You need to put the focus back on Jesus, because where the enemy wants you to get stuck at is, okay, this happened to me. How could this happen to me? And then that person. And it's like, this is not good. We need to get your mind off yourself, off of the offense and the offender, right? And right. put your mind and your focus and your attention on the Lord. And we must trust Jesus for justice, right? I mean, if there's any justice to be carried out, we're not ones qualified to be a judge. Because even though we may be hurt in this situation, guess what? It's amazing how you want to... Let's get vindicated. We need justice for this. It's like, oh, okay. I hope you have that same excitement next month when you do so. You know? But I hope you have that same vengeance and all that indication and fire you're looking for now. I hope that you still like that when you do something, right? And the truth is that we're not qualified to be a judge. The only one qualified to be a judge is Jesus.
That's right.
That's it. And what we need to do is open ourselves to be able to trust him, but also to move in forgiveness. We need to be able to forgive others. And I thought about this because of something that one of my sons went through, and we were able to just pray and talk about this with the Lord, and it was just really great. It's amazing some of the things that you know, we can discuss as parents and just as believers that bring truth into a situation to help us all get free, but also it continues to minister to us. And then I started to think, Pat, and you know, how many people grow up in life that don't have the opportunity to learn about forgiveness at an early age? Maybe their parents weren't Christians. Maybe they didn't know about the power of forgiveness or what the Bible instructs us. But from a young age, because we know we live in a fallen world, they've been hurt. They've hurted. And they've guarded themselves, and they live with all this unforgiveness, all this resentment. And it's amazing how bound you can be and how tormented when you live in a continual place of unforgiveness. And I just thought about what we can do as we're discussing and talking and sharing, how we can help shed light on that so that we can broaden the conversation and say, hey, this is what Jesus says. God has an answer for every single thing that we're going through. And so we need to quickly release and forgive the offender and understand that anyone who's not yielded to Jesus at any given time can be used by Satan, you know, or by their own flesh to cause harm. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Right. You know, open doors, you know what I'm saying? It's like, at any time, it can happen. But you can't focus your attention on trying to guard yourself. All you can do is entrust yourself to him who judges justly.
That's right.
And when you do that, believe me, God has your back, and he has a way of ministering to you. But this is what Matthew 6 says. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive me as I forgive my debtors. And so with the same measure that we use in extending grace and mercy and forgiveness to others, my goodness, we want to receive that. You know, if you forgive, you receive forgiveness. That's and right. It's a reminder to us that say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be shocked anymore. Things are going to happen. I'm fallen. I'm redeemed. I do live in a fallen world, right? But God is the one who is the judge. He's the one that forgives. He's the one that restores. He's the one that can help us with the offense. And he's the one that also can help the offender. One of the most powerful things that you can do is begin to pray for people that have hurt you. Because when you start praying with, you know, for someone, you're able to have compassion for them and understand that, you know what? They probably didn't mean to do that themselves. Maybe they were taken captive at that mm-hmm. moment. And they didn't even know what they were saying or what they were doing. You know, the enemy is absolutely evil. And if we're not, you know, the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. We can't bury our head in the sand and not understand that he is consistently always trying to stir something up or sow division. And so we have to be alert of that. Mm-hmm. Got to be aware of that and say, mm-hmm. no, if I'm going to error anywhere, I'm going to error and extending love. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN Radio, and I just noticed that there was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things because, you know, first I know that Chris had got him a little dog for the family, mm-hmm. a little cute little pug or something.
Mm-hmm. Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
And some reason I remember hearing something like, I can't believe you got a dog, something like that.
And then, that wasn't me.
And then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear the next day is like, I just had to have one. And it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. I want a pug. And what he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff? Oh. So now he has one. Mm. Now he has one. And I just pray him for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do. And do
functions.
Do.
And do.
At least it's little. I mean, if it's a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers and Mojo Samson, whoa, whatever the dog's name is, Puck, you know, is up for adoption. 25 cents, and he comes with a collar and a shots.
That's right.
No, that's I don't know if it's true or not, but
it could be.
Oh man,
all this, he was cute at first. Those all, and you should see him, he was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, he was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, it's the same here, man.
I had him on his lap, on his chest, on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No. Wait a minute. What
his bags are packed.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, it's like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your braids. Yeah.
No, it was like, dang, got some big eyes on the thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, it's sort of like, you know, it's like, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. They have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. He's like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is? Yes.
How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how? He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person teaches.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was like intense.
You weren't listening.
No, he knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. But it was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2 ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like,
yeah.
Max is like, boom, 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 jumping stuff and. What was that? Was your dog?
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco. Coco. Yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know. And it was, but it did the thing. It was just like, it, like tickle, tickle, tickle. Like I don't know. It was just so almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. The dog was so light, and it was amazing, totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's yes. it.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You gotta teach him while they're young.
Oh my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
You could do that like claw thing.
Oh no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized. Now,
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said poor the Holly.
She ran from the pug. Holly. She ran and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. He's like, on his back. That's, so that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad. Isn't it sad? He was like, you know, it was totally fine. And now, you know.
Well, you know, he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my
God. You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay? Yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week, I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here!
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We were talking about the power of forgiveness and what to do when we are hurt. You know, hurts and pains are going to happen, but woe to the person. No. No, that's not what we're talking about today.
That was old me.
Come on, Pat. Come on. Bring it together. But what we're talking about is how we can move in love, how we can move in mercy, and how we can move in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And you are most like Jesus. You know, I hear people say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to love the Lord. I want to be just like him. Well, you are most like Jesus when you walk like he did and you forgive just like he has forgiven. And one of the things that hinder that is when you get caught up on, you know, the offense and the offender instead of getting caught up in the forgiver. Uh-huh. And understanding that you too will probably do the same and maybe worse. Uh-huh. And maybe the reason you haven't done worse is because of the mercy of God.
I know, that's right.
So it's always better to say, I'm going to drop this stone right now and I'm just going to trust the Lord and give it over to him.
Yeah.
And God has a way, believe me, of not only healing you and making things right, and it's okay. It absolutely is okay.
Yeah, I mean, that really makes me think about a situation years ago in my life. You know, I don't want to go into any more details with it, but it was a situation.
What did you do to them? What did you?
I didn't do anything. Hold on now. You know, there was just this real painful situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could have got real bitter. I could have got angry. Which, I mean, there were times that I did, but then God just really began to minister to me and help me to release it and just give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
This particular situation, and you know, I just began to, he just laid on my heart to start praying for them specifically. Yeah. Instead of, you know, harboring on the offense or the pain that I'm going through, just start praying for them. And I began to do that, and it was amazing. It was miraculous what happened. And you know, God totally turned that situation around. I mean, completely turned it around.
Really?
Yeah. Where it was just amazing. Only he could have done it had I not given that situation to him. There's no other way.
You know, it makes me think of those situations too, because, you know, I've had those situations, you know, where I have been in those moments where I said something quickly, wasn't quick to listen. And it's like a lot of times we can say things that are said wrongly, and then you have to go back and say, like, you know, that was... Yeah, I mean, you really have to take consideration. That's why it's so important. You think about it, says be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I am not always the slowest to speak. And I can think about those moments being on both sides. And it's just like when you begin to pray for the person or pray over the situation and restructure that, you know, you see miracles happen because it's just like it started off one way. You know, the enemy tried to come in and just cause such a divisive wedge between that.
Mm-hmm.
And you give that to God and you're like, you know, God, forgive me for that. That was wrong. And you humble yourself before that person and say, you know, I just ask that you would forgive me. I was wrong for saying that. And I just ask that, you know, what I said, I didn't mean what I said, or that wasn't what I intended. Mm-hmm. And watch what God does. And it's amazing when those situations happen. A lot of times God will allow things to happen just to see how you're going to respond. What's going to happen? Are you going to focus on yourself? Or are you just going to focus on Jesus like you're saying?
Well, this is, it's part of life. I mean, the reality is that it's part of life. You will be hurt and you will hurt. And you have two choices. One is to focus on how you can guard hurt never happening to your life again. And that's impossible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's going to, you're going to wind up being bound and all tied up and just all tormented. Because that's what happens when you don't forgive. You're turned over to tormentors. God turned you over to tormentors because we have been forgiven so much, we have been, how can we hold any unforgiveness towards anybody else? And so Peter asked in Matthew 18, you know, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, here's Peter again. How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? It's interesting. He didn't say, you know, my neighbor or the guy in the village or the stranger. He said, my brother and my sister. Understand that sometimes those who are closest to you, not sometimes, oftentimes, those are the ones that are going to hurt you because you love them and you are in close proximity with them. So he says, my brother or sister who sins against me, how many times do I have to need to forgive them? So he says, let me go on a stretch here. What, seven times? This, you know, seven?
And he thought he was being gracious.
And he named it.
Yeah, right.
He gave it a number.
I'll even do it seven times.
Seven.
Peter, we're going to talk about that. So why did the seven come up with? Where did that come up with? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And it's like, okay, 77 times. That's the deal for the same offense. And we are like Christ when we move in love and when we move in forgiveness. And love has to be the driving force. That's the whole thing. Love for God. And love for people and love for those who belong to him. But in order to do that, here's the deal. In order to do that, you can't love yourself more than you love God. And you can't love yourself, you know, more than you love the body of Christ. He says, prefer your brother better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Prefer your, you know, better than yourself. And sometimes people are hurt, not necessarily because something hurtful actually happened to them legitimately. Sometimes people are hurt because they're constantly thinking about themselves and they're constantly offended because things are not lining up their way. Listen, it's just time to move in forgiveness. Get your mind off of yourself and put your mind on Jesus and the rewarder of your faith. When you keep your eyes on him and believe him to bring forgiveness and wholeness and restoration, believe me, all things will work out in the end. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.